Right, so Jeremiah 29:11. The title of the message is "Where are you? Where are you?" God is asking, "Where are you?" So let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. I'm trying to use my phone. Is everyone there? If you're not there, say, "Oh, me." Is everyone there? 29, chapter 29, verse 11. Now, it says, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you. So, actually, God is thinking about you. God is saying here, he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Let us sink in for a moment that God, the eternal God, is thinking about you. God thinks about you regularly, continually. He thinks about, and he knows the thoughts that he has to you, towards you. Think about that for a moment. That God is thinking about you. Now, for some people, that's a wow moment. Like, God thinking about me? Like, really? But for some people, it's a different reality. Some people are asking themselves that, really though, is God really thinking about me? Some people are asking that in their mind that, you see, when I look at this, when I look at that in my life, when I look at that, sometimes I wonder if God is really thinking about me. You know? No wonder that the next line was, so it says, thoughts I think towards you. Then it says the Lord. Then it said, thoughts of peace and not of evil. So there is a possibility that you can be in a state where you actually think, where you actually doubt if God is on your side. Has anyone been in that position before? Where, now God is having to address that the thoughts that I have to you is not thoughts of evil. It is of peace. He had to address it. Because there is a likelihood that you are at some point in your life have doubts and feel, is God really on my side? One moment you are up, the next moment you are questioning the power of God. Why is this? If I look at this, if I look at that, this unanswered prayer for such a long time, is God really on my side? But God is saying here that I am thinking about you. Now, this is God knowing his thoughts to us. And I guess the question is, how much of God's thoughts about us do we know? So God has a system in the world by which way he reveals his thoughts to us. And he's hoping that we would respond to those thoughts by walking in his will. But what if I'm in a state where I'm still even doubting that God's thoughts towards me are of peace? Would I even start walking? No, I'm just going to be in the same place, right? That's the point where I'm vulnerable to any doctrine. You know, I'm vulnerable to any mentality as a Christian. Because I'm not even sure if the thoughts of God towards me are of peace. When I look at you, when you look at certain things happening, you'd be like, God, you're thinking about me. So let's go to Ephesians chapter. Was it Ephesians chapter 3? Yeah. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. I know the Holy Spirit is already speaking to some people. So God has a system. He cares. Yeah? He cares. And he has a system in the world by which he reveals those thoughts of peace to you. It is important to God that you know those thoughts that he has towards you. A lot of people are in the state where they do not know the thoughts of God towards them. I should have pointed something out before I went. Okay, so is anyone still in Jeremiah 29:11? We can go back. Yeah. We just run through it quickly. Jeremiah 29:11. That specific verse. So he said, 29:11, I think to what he says the Lord, thought of peace and not of evil. Now, he said to give you what? A future. Right? Thought of peace to give you a future. There's a future design for you. Well, let me do that. There's a future design for you. DJ, Amanda, Meredith, there's a future designed for you. So I'm thinking about you. Yeah? Be rest assured, they are not thoughts of evil. They are of peace. You might be having your doubts, but I'm telling you now, they are of peace. And at the end of it, there is a future for you. A future designed for you. There's something designed for you. It's unique to you, Rodele. It's unique to you, Sister Shelley. It's not. There's a broad one. There's an eternal purpose, but there's a future that is unique to you. Now, like I said before, if you're still in the position where you're doubting if God is thinking peace to you, you can't even start that journey. So let's go to Ephesians now. It's time to go to Ephesians chapter 3. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me, Holy Spirit. I rely on you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. So we, from verse 8. So there is a system that God has. There is a technology that God uses to reveal his thoughts towards us because he cares. Now, if you cannot know those thoughts, God cannot do certain things. There is a limit to what God can do. You know, I hope everyone would agree with me that you are limited by the state of your mind. If your mind is on that line, you can't help it. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If your mind is, if you, for instance, give two people, say, white shirts, and you give them 24 hours to do whatever they like, and they come back, you see, you can even put them in the same building, in the same house, and they come back, you see one, the white shirt is still clean, you see one, the white shirt is dirty. That's a state of mind. And you can't help it. If the state of mind brings you to this level, that's where you are. You can't go beyond that. Okay? So God cares that he reveals his thoughts to you. So when he reveals them to you and you start to start to unfold to you, he expects you to start to run into that a future, the one that is unique to you, the one that answers to you when you call. When you call it, the answer that comes to you is different from when Ronke calls, right? And Sister Shelley calls, the answer that comes is different to what Pamela calls, Pamela One calls, right? There's a call when Pastor calls in the middle of the night. There is a unique reply that comes to him that is different from what Sister Esther gets when she's walking in the knowledge of what God is thinking about you. A future for you. He has your name on it. He has your name wrapped around it. It's a gift towards you. And that's what God is thinking. So let's look at this technology. There are many ways God reveals his thoughts towards us. So, to me, this is from verse 8. Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given to me. Someone say grace. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles. Okay? So, a grace was released to a man to preach among the Gentiles. Now, what is the preaching? The first one is, he says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which is from the beginning. You see, there is a mystery. There is something that is not open to the naked eyes, not open to anybody about this Jesus Christ we speak about. The unsearchable riches of Christ. There is a mystery about the fellowship with Jesus Christ, unique to you. Now, the grace was released to a man. Yeah? That's the technology. God gives a grace to a man, and he says, go out there, just as we are having now. What I'm doing now is grace. I couldn't do it. I was running. Yeah? Go out there and say to them that, look, there is something about the unsearchable riches of Christ. There's a mystery around the fellowship in Christ. And I want to reveal it to you. Right? I want to reveal it to you. I want you to walk in a purpose. I want you to walk in a power that is unique to you. Now, some people are praying for things in this church. You know, some people have testimonies. Some people still want other things. But what it appears to me is that if we, don't forget, the grace was upon that man, Paul. If that grace that is upon you, if you walk in it, yeah, and I'm associated with you, there are some things I don't have to pray about. I don't have to worry about it. Some people in this church have a grace of financial blessing. That's the thinking of God, but they don't know it yet. So that is why, you know, he or she is thinking of, oh, can I give my tithe? Or should I know? Should I give this to God? And God is saying, hey, excuse me, hello. I want to give you a system, because someone else in this church is crying, oh God, I want a breakthrough. I have a debt situation. I need to pay off my debt. And God is answering, is calling this other sister and this brother, that, look, this is the way to go. I want to give you a system, not money, system. And you go to work and your boss is saying there's going to be a restructuring, there's going to be a loss of jobs. And you say, God, give me a job. God says, no, I'm not giving you a job. I want to give you a system, a grace. So that grace is unique to that person. And when that person walks in it, those people praying for debt don't have to pray for it, because he's going to be a vessel through which the church of God will advance. So it is time for me to start to enjoy the grace of God upon your life, you upon my life, upon your life. There is a grace in the house. And that is the thinking of God. He's thinking continually every day. He's asking, where are you in this journey? When are you going to start to walk in this grace that I've given to you? When are you going to start to walk in it? How long are you going to sit back and think about the things that did not happen? You know, I'm giving you a system. You know, it's possible for you to pray to God and say, God, give me pink, give me red. And God is saying, forget about that. I want you to start writing that book now. And think, what has that got to do with it? Because that's your grace. Let's go to John chapter 14. There's something that the Holy Spirit showed me in John chapter 14. What verse is it now? Where is it? Because I want you to do this. Pastor, just help me there. John chapter 14, verse 12. Can someone read that, please? Verse 12 to 14. Yeah.
Okay. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it.
Okay. So the Holy Spirit showed me something yesterday. And so I want you to listen carefully. He said, verse 12, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, that's Jesus, yeah? The works that I do, that person would also do, right? And in fact, went on to say, greater work will the person do. I want us to think deeply about this. The works that Christ did, are they not the answers to some of the things we pray about? Does anyone disagree with that? The works that Christ did on earth in Scripture, the laying of hands, the financial blessing, when he told someone, cast your net, the time where he set the tax man free from his guilt, and he said, you know what, I'm going to give up my belongs to the poor, the water to wine. Are they not the sort of things that we ask for in prayer every day? Yeah, no, I want answers. So that if Jesus was here today, you are likely to go to him and ask the same thing, right? So, now there are two things in this verse. They say, the works that I do, you will also do. In other words, if we were to doing those works, and in fact greater than those works, we would have been providing answers to our own prayers. Therefore, so what does it mean when he therefore said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do? What are you asking for then? You're already doing the works. People are getting healed. People are getting blessed. So what are we asking for? What are we asking for? God is asking. He wants you to start to walk in the grace that he has released upon your life. He wants us to be passionate about it. That is where our power is. That is where our power is. It's frustrating to be outside of the grace, not in the thinking of God, and Christianity becomes a lottery. What I asked, what was given. What I asked, what's not been given. I'm depressed, God has not given me. And that's it for the rest of your life. And God is saying, no, there is another system. I've given you grace. Walk before me and be blameless. Walk in that grace. And when you walk in that grace, someone is going to be blessed. I'll be a recipient of the grace of God upon your life. There are some people in this place. This is one of the things the Holy Spirit revealed to me. There are some people in this place. There is a grace upon your life that when you go to homes where they are suffering, where they are going through something, when you walk in, heaven goes with you. And when you speak, the power of Satan stops working in that home. Some people have that grace in this place. While some people are having pressure in their homes and they are praying and say, whatever reason, money or whatever, you know, or someone is not behaving, you know. And some people have the grace. They walk into that home and peace comes into that home. There's a power. Heaven comes with you. And when you say something, it is straight from the throne. And when you walk out, that house is never the same. Some people have that grace in this place. Spoke about one of the things that was also revealed to me. Some people have the grace of financial blessing. Some people are financial backers of God's kingdom in this house, but they don't know it. Like, this is what God is thinking. But they are praying for jobs or the next 10 pounds. And God is saying, no, forget that. Let's start this journey in this way. Be on this track. Some people have that grace in this house. So that if there's anyone having a debt problem or anything, they need not worry about it. It is time that we need to start enjoying the grace of God on our lives. I need to have access to the grace of God in your life. Doesn't matter what age you are, by the way. And it's time that I need to access God's grace on your life, Sean. On your life, I need to be a recipient of God's grace. I need to be a recipient of God's grace on my life too. When you're on that path of power, it doesn't matter then you are not susceptible to doctrines or mentality. I don't think Christians are good or Christians are bad. It won't matter because you are in what? You are in power. Right? Is the Holy Spirit speaking to someone? Now God is asking us, where are you in this journey? Are you still connected to the thing that happened in the past? Are you still connected to the distractions you're dealing with? Or you realize that, God, there's a future, there's a calling upon my life, and I'm going to start walking in it. There are some people in this church, I don't know if I might be one of them, where there's a grace upon your life to pass on power to the next generation. That's another thing that was revealed. There's a grace upon your life to pass on power to the children, the next coming generation, help them in their way. Yes, they are in this church. But if they don't know, they're not walking it, they're banging their head against the wall, like, I'm praying for this, I'm praying for that, I'm praying for going out, I'm coming in, and God say, okay, let's fly now. Let's fly. Let's have an adventure. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 3. I think it's the last verse. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Sorry, is everyone there? Excuse me. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Remember in John 14 that we just looked at, there's a part of doing the works of Christ. Yeah, we spoke about that. And there's a part when we are asking. And I said, what are we asking for, right? Now this verse is saying, now God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. There is a superior power of God that is beyond you asking or thinking of something. What is more superior is you walking and doing the works. Right? Now it says, what you may ask, what you may think, according to what? The power that what? Let's read it. According to what? To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? In us. You are asking, you're thinking, whereas the power to bring those things to pass is in you. What is man that thou art so mindful of? Is this why God is mindful of us? I don't know where that is in the Bible. What is man that thou art so mindful? What is man that thou visited him? God is visiting you. He's coming to you. He's mindful of you. Do you know why? Because there's a power in you that he left in you. And he's hoping that that power will be unleashed. That you would rise and shine and you give it to the world. And he comes visiting. He's mindful of you. Because you're special in his eyes. God is asking, where are you? Is this power still sleeping? Or you're prepared to let it out? Are you still distracted? Are you still one leg in, one leg out? Or you're not sure? That's what God is asking you. He wants you to look beyond the distractions in your life and say, walk in the grace. There is a grace upon your life. It has your name wrapped around it. Beyond that we may ask or think according to a power that works in us. There's a power in you, sister, that needs to come out. There's a power in you. There's a power in you, Bosamo. There's a power in you, Sean. There's a power in you that needs to come out. You need to look within. When I release that power, when you release that power, then something, our mentality changes. Then the mission, then we are set for the mission. The kingdom of darkness is working. If we are distracted by other things, when we can't fight, we can't drag the mission. Now, somewhere in Ephesians, let me just show you this, where it spoke about the eternal purpose that the gentleman should follow the heirs of Christ. 18. Powers in heaven, please. Is it 8? And to make all see the fellowship. Sorry, guys. We need any God. Yes. From verse 9. Ephesians 3. So from verse 9. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So when we release ourselves into discovering that grace, that purpose for us, that mystery becomes something that we understand. It's a mystery to you. It's unique to you. You know it. You know it. You know it. You know it for yourself. And that power becomes effective. So of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, and God is revealing it to us through the Spirit, created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now listen to this, now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by what? By who? The church. The manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to what? To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. That is one of the, and it says, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus. A time is coming where we walk in power, and as a unit, we can take that power, yeah, and deploy it to territories, principalities, and powers. But these are people that know the thoughts of God to them. When things happen, they know that I have a future. It is settled. There is a grace upon my life. This thing cannot contain me. I would destroy it. There is an effective power in me. It has to be known to you. If you don't know it, then you'll be weary, you'll be frustrated, you'll be weak. The question, where are you, is, in fact, on that journey, on that grace, where do you stand? Where do you sit? Are you still distracted? Or you are ready for this exciting journey? There's a grace upon your life. There's a grace upon your life. And God is asking us to walk in that grace, to seek that grace, and stop being distracted. And when we walk in that grace, we would experience the power of God. I'm looking forward to the time when I will see the power of God upon the lives of people here, and people themselves, they will discover themselves, discover what calling they have upon their lives, and we'll see the beauty, the strength of God's might in people's lives. Sometimes when you look at the contrast between our realities versus how God describes his power for us in the Bible, you wonder, yeah, are these things real? Are they real? Well, yes, they are. Someone like Benny Hinn is a great evangelist. Can you imagine him not rising up to the grace upon his life? Some people are not going to be saved. Some people are going to remain in some kind of situation, unfortunately, because someone else is not rising up. The works that I do, you will do what? Greater works. Some people are going to lay hands on some people that are going to be healed. Some people are going to be financial backers of the kingdom. They are in this place. Those sort of people, you don't have to tell them, pay tithe, pay tithe. No. As soon as they know the thinking of God and they know the future, they will just release. They will just keep releasing. And they will be a vessel. In God's kingdom, you don't own anything. You only have access. If you think you own it, you're a rebel. That money is mine. That child is mine. You're a rebel. In God's kingdom, you only have access to blessings. And through you, the blessings go to other people. But if you think you own it, then you're a rebel. And God is not pleased. He said, what does it profit a man? You gain the whole world and you lose your soul. That's what happens in the other kingdom. You exchange your soul for all the things that we seek after. When in God's kingdom, in this grace, you retain your soul and you retain the blessing. You don't exchange your soul. So God is calling us to that. He's calling us to action. This is a call to action. It's sort of a revival. I've heard someone use that word today. A revival. Was it you, Shelley? I heard someone use that word today, revival. Yes, it is a revival. God, and you know, it marks the beginning of a new prayer section. You know, it's a new beginning for us. And I hope as many people as I will take this message and start to run with it and desire, be passionate about the calling of God upon your life, and you release yourself into it, and you forget all the distractions, and you say, God, here I am. Here I am, God. Holy Spirit, here I am. I yield to you. I give it all away to you. I give it all to you. Forget about the misleading. You know, there's a lot of things in the body of Christ. People mislead and teach. You know, so you know what? Okay, let's pack that to one side. God, I'm all for you. What do you want me to go? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? There is a grace upon you. There is a future that is waiting for you. It's bright. It's beautiful. It is of peace. It is good. It is not evil. God had to address it. Remember, it is not evil because you are likely. There's a point in your life you're likely to think, I'm going to lose if I do business with God. And God is addressing, no, it's the best plan. It is the best plan. God is asking, where are you? And he's hoping you will say, here I am, God. Here I am. Use me. I want to walk in this grace. I want to fly in this grace. I want to leave behind all the distractions. Who looked at me? Who did not look at me? Who wrinkled their face? Is that what the boss said? What the government is saying? And say, God, here I am. I want to walk in this grace. There is a power that is within you. Always remember that. It's not outside. It is within you. Remember, you ask, you think. It can do far above. According to the power that is already effective power of God. Is the Holy Spirit spoken to someone today? I wish I could sing a song. I'm going to sing a song, yeah? You know what you're going to do whilst I sing? You're just going to be saying amen. It's a prayer. It's a blessing. Yeah? I'm going to sing a song. It's going to be a simple song. Some of us know it. You can sing it along. So I don't think we sang in the church before, but I'm going to be saying some things. You're going to be saying amen in the name of Jesus. All right? Are you ready? I want you to, I mean, it's being in a sort of a meditative mood. This is a word of power. I have the grace to say this. And your ladder will be greater than your past. In Jesus' name, say amen. Amen. You will be blessed more than you can have. Amen. Despite all that has been done, now I declare to you, your best is yet to come in Jesus' name. And your ladder will be greater. Your ladder will be greater in Jesus' name. Your ladder will be greater than your pen. I'm going to say it again. And your ladder will be greater than your past. In Jesus' name. You will be blessed. Shatakaba. More than you can have. Despite all that has been done. Think about that for a moment. Now listen, the best is yet to come, and the ladder will be greater. I speak to you. Your ladder will be greater. I speak to you. Your ladder will be greater than your past. And your ladder will be greater. Sing to yourself, my ladder. And my ladder will be greater. Ladder will be greater than you. In Jesus' name. I want you to know that your ladder will be greater than your past. There is an effective power that is working within you. What is man that thou art so mindful of? God is mindful of you because he has deposited a power in you and is coming to you in the middle of the night. He's sending people to you. He's sending them. He's revealing things to you. He's hoping that one day you would respond to the call and say, God, here I am. Here I am. Take me. I don't care about the past. I don't care about this. I'm not going to be distracted anymore. But God, here I am. I'm ready to answer the call. There is a grace upon your life. It's the best plan. Stop exchanging your soul for something else. It's the best plan. Your latter, in the name of Jesus, shall be greater than your past. Despite of what has been done, in spite of what you have done, what the enemy is telling you, I declare to you that your latter shall be greater than your past. In Jesus.